What's good? What's good? We are back. Another episode of the Paul Picker Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. My next guest is a former MMA fighter with at least 26 fights under his belt. He's fought in UFC, Bellator, the Legacy Fighting Alliance, Titan FC, number 2 ranked welterweight for BKFC with a 5-1 record. His last victory was versus Elvin Brito at BKFC Fight Night, Kansas City, Kansas, just a few weeks ago. Let's bring on the one and only Jake Gypsy Lindsay. Jake, what's good, man?
What's going on, man?
First, I want to say thank you for reaching out. You was already on my radar, so I would have got to you soon anyways. So,
but yeah, I saw that clip with Chris Lytle. Like, I got to jump on there.
Yeah, Chris Lytle, man. Great guy, man. Really great guy. I want to start with your old fight name, The Librarian. Like, who came up with that, and why did they call you The Librarian?
Well, I wish I could tell you some fancy story about it, but I was literally a librarian for like 11 years.
Oh, shit.
So it's a literal name.
Yeah.
Yeah, so originally, when I started fighting, I wanted my nickname to be The Gypsy Jake Lindsay. But my second amateur fight, my coach had them introduce me as Jake the Librarian. So then it just stuck. You know what I'm saying? And then when I started doing bare knuckle, I was like, fuck it. We're switching sports. So I'm going to go back to my original desired nickname of Gypsy Jake Lindsay.
Yeah, librarian doesn't sound very intimidating.
Well, I kind of liked it because everyone had these really cheesy names back then, like the killer. Or the assassin. And it's like, shut up. Someone's trying too hard to sound tough. You know.
All right. So before you got into the UFC, you compiled an amateur MMA record of 7-0, pro record of 9-0. What was that experience like for you?
What do you mean, fighting for the UFC?
Before you got in UFC.
I mean, it was good. I never planned on fighting long term. I just started fighting and didn't stop. It was good, man. It was good. About the time when I was like 7-0-ish as a pro, I was insanely burned out because I went hard. Because I'd been training myself for years before I found a gym. I took it way too seriously before. When I was younger, I would get up in the morning and jog, and then I'd do this. I mean, literally all day long. So I was burnt out about 7-0 as a pro. I was basically not really training that hard and yada, yada, yada. But, you know, it was a learning experience. I think fighting is a form of self-expression. So I think you learn a little bit about yourself every fight. So I was growing up as I started fighting, I was like 18. So I'll you know, it was an overall positive experience, I'd say.
Now, did any of that burnout carry over into the UFC?
Oh, absolutely. So, essentially, my first UFC fight, they had called me, and I had like 2 weeks' notice, and I was fat. I hadn't been training. I was really not motivated. And if I was smarter, I would have been like, take the fight, and then be like, oh, I mean, I like get fake injured, right? So then, like, I get the contract. But no, you know what I'm saying? Knowing I wouldn't be able to make the weight and be in good shape. And then that way I could roll into a full camp. So I fought John Tuck, I think his name was. 2 weeks notice, and this guy had a full camp. My first time fighting at elevation, had to lose like 30 pounds. It was brutal. And with all considering, I actually performed really well considering those things. But after I lost that one, and then that one, I got super depressed afterwards because I had not lost to that point. And yeah, the burnout, like I wasn't training. I wasn't really motivated. It was the worst time ever for me to go to the UFC because everyone's trying. So their whole career. And I was so burnt out at that point. I had no motivation and yada, yada, yada. So it definitely took a part in my performance in the UFC. But if you put it into perspective, a lot of guys, they'll lose before they get to the UFC, right? Mm-hmm. I learned how to lose. I'd fought so long. I learned how to lose after I got out of the UFC. So I lost all three of my fights And really, like, it was, I was in there like 3 out of 10, dude. I wasn't even fucking there. It was basically, I was like showing up. I wasn't even there. And, you know, it, I was really depressed at first for a while, but in long term, though, it actually taught me a lot. I'm way mentally stronger because of it. So, but most definitely the burnout was real.
Yeah, Kyle, I was going to ask you, you know, after going undefeated for so long, was it really hard to deal with the, like, back-to-back losses and stuff?
Dude, it was brutal. Because, like, and I try to tell young guys this now. The best thing that could ever happen for me was losing the amateurs. Like, you want to fight. I fought all tough guys my whole career. So when I finally did lose, instead of putting in perspective and saying, oh, well, you know, you weren't really training, you cut a lot of weight, I just was so worried about losing again that I would hyper-fixate on that and I wouldn't perform. You know what I'm saying? So when you're fighting and you're worried, you're fighting not to lose, it's not the same thing as fighting to win. Right? You're barely there. You just,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's a big lesson I learned, you know, over the next couple of years, is like learning how to lose. And at this point in my career, and it really helped, I was always mentally strong, but now I have the attitude of like, I don't really give a shit if I win or lose. I'm just going to go out there and try to whoop the dude's ass. And if you have that attitude about it, then 9 times out of 10, you're going to perform well. And even if you do lose it, but as long as you go out there and throw down, you don't really give a shit.
Now, what made you get into bare knuckle?
Because I'm a bad motherfucker, dude. What do you think? What do you think?
Well, I heard a story from Chris Lytle saying when he first heard about it, you know, he thought it was the craziest thing he ever heard. It was somebody from UFC fighting in it. And then he saw what it was. He was like, oh, this is different. They're in the ring. There's a ref. Because I think he said in our interview, he thought it was going to be a bunch of guys in some jeans with no shirts on, you know, with a bunch of cars and lights around them. And
hey, I'd be down with that. Well, at that point, I've actually done, and here's what's funny, dude. Anytime you interview a bare knuckle guy, I guarantee, like, so many of them say this, but they're all full of shit. So many of them will be like, well, I've done underground bare knuckle before. Yeah. It's popular. No, you didn't. Shut the fuck up. But in this case, I actually did do, I've actually done a few bare knuckle fights. They weren't like, they were kind of organized, but they weren't super organized. So when I was fighting MMA, I was in Colorado, and we were hanging out at this biker bar, and I met a bunch of bikers, and they found out they fought, and they were like, hey, do you want to fight our dude for money? I'm like, yeah. And so I pieced up some dude they knew. And then it got a little shady because this is like when it was actually underground, we basically just meet behind a building and fight and people would bet money and stuff. And I did one with those guys and then they were like, I whooped this dude's ass bad. I just pieced him up. He was bigger than me too, but I mean, he was tough, but he couldn't fight at all. And then they wanted me to fight this little Mexican gangbanger. And then when I got there, like it was like 30 of his little friends were there. And I'm like, there's no way. Because I'm going to whoop his ass, and then they're going to whoop my ass and take all my money. Yeah. So that was my – but I always liked it. I always liked a good bare-knuckle scrap. And I had to quit kind of doing MMA because it was redundant, and I was kind of bored of it. And then they just called me up because they had a show in Wichita, and I was all about it. So sign me up. And then we just went from there.
So I want to ask you about the Gertz fight, which – after watching that again, I mean, you were extremely classy at the end, man. Like, the doctor definitely called that too early, right?
Nah, I don't fucking know. I mean, maybe. But, like, if you consider, I wouldn't have stopped it if I was a doctor. I wish they wouldn't have stopped it, but
the fans, I mean, definitely didn't like it.
Man, well, of course they're going to throw a fit about it. They're their hometown guy. And, yeah, I gave them. I kind of gave him too much credit. I should have been like, dude, quit your fucking whining. Cause like, I wanted to be classy in the cage and be like, look, he's a warrior. Give him his respect. Yeah. He got in there. But you have to respect everyone. But that's what you get for getting in my face beforehand. he tried to be all intimidating. He's like, no one's scared of you, Brandon. When, but like, it is unfortunate. Like it is unfortunate.
Weigh-in?
No, when he walked into the cage, that fight night. He like walked over and tried to get in my face and I got right in his face and like, he looked like an idiot cause he didn't do anything. And then he had to walk away. It's like, what are you going to do? Like, but did they call it early? I mean, maybe I wish we would have got the next two rounds. I was just getting my timing down with him And he was going all downhill from there. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so.
What did you think about his game plan, though? I felt like he had a decent game plan going up against you because, I mean, he is a shorter guy. And these shorter guys, it's like all they could do is kind of bulldog in with their head down.
Yeah, it was a good idea. His straight left was good. He was keeping his head low, and he landed a couple good straight lefts. But I don't know. Wasn't good enough, I guess. Wasn't good enough.
Well, I mean, not it wasn't good enough if the doctor called it and said, you know, he couldn't go forward. So,
yeah, no, he did good. He did good for sure. Like, I would have had him maybe winning. Though, like, the thing with that fight is if you really watch it, there's a lot of times it looks like he's hitting me and he's not. There's an exchange where he has my back against the wall. The camera's at his back, and he throws, like, three punches. And it looks like he's clocking me, but then they show it from another angle, and I see him rolling with one that misses. As he hits me, I'm hitting him with the left hook. Same thing with the right hand, and then we clinch. So I would have him probably winning the first round, maybe two, but like the third was mine, the fourth would be mine, and fifth he probably would have got stopped. But you're right, you know, crazy things happen in fights. If it was up to me, I would never have fights stopped ever by doctors. We'd go the whole time. But
now, your loss versus Gorjan Slavetsky, who's no longer in the BKFC, what do you feel like you could have done differently in that one?
Well, I just could have fought like normal and beat him quite easily, but he was talking. It was really emotional. Like, he was supposed to be the super hard hitter and blah, blah, blah. And he's the hardest hitting guy and blah, he's a big tough guy. But then I just said, okay. And we just started cracking each other. So I could have been way more technical and dance around him and all that stuff. And if I would have fought more technical, I probably could have won every round quite decisively, but he hit me once in the first round. Then I hit him back, and then we started talking shit. So I was like, okay, we're just slugging it. So that being said, I lost, but I don't really feel like it's a loss. A lot of people thought I won. I thought I won, but I don't really give a shit. I would love to run that fight back, but who knows, yeah, you know?
He's in, like, karate combat now, from what I heard.
See, here's his problem, because if you notice in our fight and in other fights as well, and I'm not saying this to be bitter, this is just what it was. Uh-huh. He kept turning his back. He'd get hit a couple times, and it was a good strategy because he throws bombs, right? Big looping shots. He'd throw a looping shot, and then he'd back up the cage. I'd start tagging him, and he'd turn around like this and cover. And you're not supposed to do that. That's actually a standing eight count, and you turn away purposely. And he did it over and over and over again. The ref let him do it. Well, in karate combat, they don't stop the fight for that. So he got TK. Okay. He would do that. He threw a punch and he'd turn around and wait for the ref to stop it. And the guy literally just kept hitting him. So it didn't work out too good for him, to be honest with you.
You think that's a big problem with a lot of people that come into bare knuckle? They think it's going to be anything like the other stuff they fought in MMA or boxing or whatever?
Yeah. Bare knuckle is a completely... I am uniquely qualified to attest to this because I've done pro kickboxing, pro boxing, MMA, bare knuckle. I've done Muay Thai with the elbows. I've done literally everything. And it's a completely unique sport. With no gloves on, it changes the entire thing. So a lot of guys do come in there. Boxers come in and they think they're going to outbox people. I fought a really good pro boxer, Derek Finley. I pieced his ass up. There's nothing like it. Someone's calling. Oh, sorry.
You got a call.
Yeah.
So now, what is your mindset like when you the first person to get knocked down in a match? Like, what's the thought process? Yeah. Like, what's the thought process right after that?
I don't even know. I don't even think I've been the first one to get knocked down in a fight. Actually, that's not true. There's a couple times I've been, there's a time, I'll tell you a story. There's one time I got fucking put down, first punch the guy through, smoked me with a straight left. Whap! Put me down, and I shot for a takedown, and I'm on his leg, and like there's blood gushing out of my mouth. And the mindset you want to have is you want to recover, but also I was like, okay, motherfucker, like you're not going to whoop my ass in front of my friends, right? You're not going to whoop my ass. So the first thing you should think is, like, you should want to get it back. You should want to be like, okay, let's go. Like, right now we're going. You know, what you don't want to do is start panicking. Because I can tell you in fights. So when I told you earlier, there are times I was fighting not to lose because I was so worried about losing after my first loss. Like, fuck, I don't want to lose again. When I would get hit or if I was in trouble in that period of time, I would start to panic in my brain. And then you start thinking, oh, shit, I'm losing. Oh, shit, I'm losing. And it's a bad spiral. Right. But when you're not, when you're in that normal fight mindset, the way you, where you want to be at, you just are constantly thinking, okay, go here, do this, defend your neck, move your head, put your hands up. And then once you recover, you get mad, you go, okay, it's fucking, you want to get it back. And that's what you want, man. Like now, that's how I've been. I was only like that defensively in terms of like fighting not to lose for a couple, like a year or two there, then I got over it. And then you get put down your ass, the first thing you're thinking is like, okay, like I'm going to get that back. Like you're going to regret hitting me like that.
All right, so you fought at BKFC Kansas City. Being at your home state, and that was the first time in Kansas, if I'm not mistaken. What was that feeling like?
Well,
and I give you the main event. And you were the main event.
Yeah, I can give you the truth or some bullshit answer. And I don't lie about stuff, so I'll tell you the truth. You know, now after the fight, I'm really happy about it. But during, like, and right before, the fight was literally the last thing on my mind. I had been going through about 2 or 3 weeks before. I had a really bad separation with, you know, my ex, and we had a custody battle going on. I couldn't see my son at all. So I wasn't thinking about it being in Kansas. I was thinking about anything. And then once we got to the venue, I wasn't even really thinking about the fight up until fight night. Once we got there, though, it was just like, man, it's like I'm not letting anything. Nothing's going to stop me from winning. Right? Nothing. I don't care how much drama I have in my life. If I'm sad, if I have all these regrets, blah 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 blah. I just wiped my mind clean. And went out there and just did what I had to do. Afterwards, I thought, man, you know how awesome it's been. It is to fight there and win there as a main event. That is a really historical building. It like Ric Flair won a belt there. Like how fucking badass is that, man? So it was fantastic. I think it's a great venue too. It was sold out. The crowd was awesome. So I hope they have more events there for sure.
I'm from North Carolina, so you know we're big on wrestling out here. Ric Flair is from Charlotte, so.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's right.
Now, how awkward was the fighting style of Elvin Brito with that, like, high elbow guard he does?
I mean, it wasn't that bad. I was just like, it took me a round or two to get warmed up. Once I got warmed up, I got his timing down pretty good. I wouldn't even say it was awkward, to be honest with you. It's just okay. I had a slow first or second round. He has an awkward, like, his distance is awkward. Like, he'll close distance pretty really fast, and he'll dip his head and close distance. But there was nothing, and I'm not trying to be – I think he was fantastic. It did – to his credit, it wasn't awkward per se, but the elbow up, that's – it made it harder to gauge my range. Right. Uh-huh. Because instead of having his hand here, he'd stick his elbow out like this.
Yeah.
It almost like put an extra foot of distance between me and him when I didn't want it to. So, yeah, his style wasn't awkward. It was just hard to find the range, I should say.
Now, is he tough to take down? Because, I mean, nobody got took down in that fight.
He had the chin for sure. I hit him a couple of times and wobbled him, but he just never. I hit him with some clean ass straight right hands too, and he just never fell down. So I think he's been dropped once his whole career. So he has a good chin for sure.
Now, there was a lot of clinching in that fight and a lot of punching to the sides. Like, how effective are those punches when you're receiving them and you're giving them?
People always act like they don't hurt, but those motherfuckers hurt. Like, they'll piss you off. You'll be in the clinch, and someone starts smacking you right in your eye with their knuckle, and you already have a cut there. It's really distracting. We clinched so much because, again, the distance, we were both having issues managing the distance because we both come forward at the same time and crash. But those punches, they can be effective. It all depends. I hit him a couple times in the body with some good ones during the clinch, and I heard him go, oof. But really, a lot of times they're just for points, because you got to throw him regardless. Okay. Because even if he's throwing punches to you and you're just standing there for 10 seconds, that's his 10 seconds. So you got to be doing something. And sometimes you can't get a good angle to like really get some power. So you have to just little knocking on the door punches and all that stuff. But they do add up. I've seen guys get dropped with short little shots. Like you have about an inch of space and a short little hook when you're not looking. Yeah. Will get you on the jaw. So.
Yeah, and I've never thought about that. It's really good for points.
Right, because if you're beating a guy up on the feet, like on the outside, let's say you clinch half the round and you're not doing shit, he's punching you the whole time. They're going to score every one of those 10-second periods as hit. So it looks like he wins a round more.
Now, going into the fifth round, did you really felt like, hey, I got this in the bag, long as I don't get knocked down?
Yeah, I mean, I was really not even thinking about it. My corner didn't tell me who won the rounds or whatever. Took me two rounds to get into it, and then I was kind of like I said, I had a bunch of, not to be personal and not to be dramatic, but like I said, fighting is a form of self-expression. So I was in there, I was sucking ass. So at the end of the fourth round, I was so tired. And I don't know why I was so tired, probably because I had so much anxiety about all the stuff in my personal life. It was kind of like all coming out in the fight. I was getting mad and all that shit. So even the fourth round, I was sucking wind. I was tired, but fifth round, I was just like, you know what? There's no fucking way I'm going to lose this fight. I felt I was going to be undeniable. You have to knock me out unconscious or I'm going to keep coming forward. So that was kind of my mindset going into the fifth. I thought I was winning for sure, but I wanted to finish him. I really wanted to finish him. So I was spamming those right hands. I think I hit him with two or three really solid straight rights. He just didn't fall down. So.
Yeah, you could definitely tell towards the end, y'all were extremely tired. And I think that's something that these newcomers fail to realize about bare knuckle is their cardio has to be top notch.
Dude, it's even so, like when you fight MMA, you can grapple, right? Which is, people say is hard wrestling is hard. It's harder than, that sounded really smart, didn't it? Hard wrestling's hard. What I meant was, wrestling hard is more difficult than anything else cardio-wise if you're just straight wrestling. But people don't realize, even though the rounds are shorter in bare knuckle, there's almost no rest periods, ever.
Yeah.
They don't let you clinch. So in MMA, you'll grab a guy, you guys will be brawling or fighting real hard. Then you'll have a 30, 40-second break where one of you leaning on each other on the cage or both catching your breath. So you're getting 2.5 minutes of rest in a 5-minute round in an MMA fight. Bare knuckle, you're not. You're absolutely not. And I don't know what it is, to be honest, but there, you would think you get less tired because you have no gloves on. It's lighter weight on your hands, but there's nothing that's cardio intensive that I've done so far as bare knuckle. It's more intense. There's more damage coming in. You're taking more damage. So I think overall your mind is a lot more alert. You don't get like lulled into like, I'm on top of a guy on the ground. I can lay on him for 2.5 minutes and recover. You have to be on point mentally the whole time or you're going to get fucking knocked out.
That makes a lot of sense. Now you got Trout versus Franco coming up in Spain. Is the goal to try to get the winner of that match?
What do you think about Austin Trout? You know what I think? He smells fishy to me, boy.
I think he lucked out by being a big name, getting a title fight real, real early. I don't know that he necessarily deserved it. I mean, just because he was a big name. I mean, I know how BKFC is with these big names and stuff, you know.
Yeah, he absolutely didn't deserve it at all. He fought Diego Sanchez, and then he fought Palomino for the belt. But I guess they have to make money. What I think about Austin Trout and that fight, to be honest with you, I don't give a shit about the title. And I'm not just saying that to sound cool, because here's the problem with fighting for the belt. It's great. But let's say they told me tomorrow, hey, you're guaranteed the winner.
Okay.
Okay. that means I'm sitting for at least a year. Yeah, like a lot of times they'll shelve guys.
Yeah.
They'll say, if you want the guaranteed title shot, you're going to have to wait. Do I want to wait 6, 7, 8, 9 months? Not really. And is the money going to be, you get a little bit more for title fight, but is the money going to be that much better than fighting another guy? Like, you see what I'm saying? Plus, I want to get married. I have like a 2-year time limit on getting married. So like, I'm focused on it. I love kids and I want a big family. So I got some kids now. So I gave myself a time limit. I'm 38 now. I want to be married by 40 and like, I want to have more kids on the way. So I'm kind of focusing on that aspect of my life. Now, that being said, I would fight literally anyone ever at any time. Doesn't matter.
So
I would
like guessing what makes more sense is maybe a Bryce Henry match or something.
Oh, who is that again? Is that the YouTuber?
Or how about Carlos Trinidad Snake?
Dude, that's my boy. I'd fight him. We were supposed to fight before.
Okay, y'all teammates?
No, we're not teammates. I've known him for a long time. I wanted to fight Joel Moore. That's a good fight I've always wanted. That'd be fun. I'll fight anybody. I don't have anyone in mind. I'd like to fight Paul Amino, but that's not going to happen. I want to fight. You know who I want to fight? Eddie Alvarez, please, for the love of God, someone let me fight Eddie Alvarez. He's fighting. They're having a show in his hometown in December. It's like, come on. Eddie, let me fight you, Eddie. They won't ever do it because I'm not popular enough. But I think it's a win-win because, look, you have Eddie Alvarez. If he beats me, he gets a title fight, right? He's ranked number one, right? And that's a big fight. They can do Austin Trout versus Eddie Alvarez or whatever. That's a big fight. If I beat him, all of a sudden I'm way more popular and I'm more marketable. So it's a win-win. I think I whoop Eddie's ass. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, he's obviously going to punch me in the face too. I think I beat him every round. And I think I finish him third, fourth, fifth round. That's how I feel about it. And I, not being disrespectful to him, I've been a fan of his for forever. He's been fighting about the same amount of time I have. So I've been watching him fighting Bodog way back in the day. So I've always wanted to fight him. I remember seeing him fight in Bodog, and we were in the same weight class. I was like, man, I want to fight that dude. This is like the first time I've seen him fight. So,
and you versus Palomino would be a big match as well. I know his match that he was supposed to have got canceled because of something with the other fighter.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Maybe they, I mean, BKSC need to make that happen. I know Nate's in charge of these putting
together. I know. I'm a little bit too, I'll jump the gun and I'll start messaging guys and say, hey, you want to fight? And they'll say yes. And I'll like send it to Nate and say, hey, make us fight. Like sign the contract, make it happen. But they have to plan shows and stuff. And I know I can sound critical sometimes of Bare Knuckle, but, or BKSC, excuse me. But I mean, I don't know all the inner workings of their business model and all that stuff. But I just want to fight. I mean, use me. I got a good 2 to 3 years left and then I'm done. And I'm always exciting. I'm all like, why not use me now? Like I said, I want to be married, build a big family. And once I get to that point in my life, I'm shutting everything else out of my life and I'm focusing on my family. I think that's the best thing a man can do is build a fantastic family and have a bunch of kids. So that's my focus. So I have my own business. I have the fighting. The fire, though, I don't know if the fire is going to go away. I actually tried to retire like 7 years ago, but I can't stop wanting to fight. So might as well use me now. I would fight literally every couple of months if they let me, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I think people do got a right to be critical about some of the matches. Cause I know like Redneck Mundell, Mike Perry should have been happened. That's the fight I keep advocating for, but it's like we're never going to get it.
Well, the thing too is, here's the thing. If you care about something, you're obviously going to be critical about it because you want it to do better. So this isn't always just me being like, I want more money or I want this or I want that. It's just, I feel like sometimes Bare Knuckle, they completely ignore the actual guys in the top five in the rankings, right? They make a lot of money. So like you have fucking Dave Mundell hasn't fought for how long? What the fuck are we doing? What's the point of even having the belt? Like, and I know they get paid more, but I feel like, in my opinion, if you're a champion in an organization, I don't care if you say you're the best in the world, this is the biggest organization of this, you know, whatever fight, kickboxing, boxing, whatever. Your champion should not have to work. Right. I don't even care if it's $100,000. I can make $100,000 last me. That's a good salary. But I don't think they pay the guys in the top five enough. And I don't think they keep them active because they're the rankings are the backbone of your organization. I know you got to have your money fights, and I would never expect to get paid as much as a big popular YouTube guy or Mike Perry or whatever, but you got to keep them because all the hardcore fans are like, hey, I want to see these ranked guys fight. What the hell's going on?
And I mean, am I wrong? They're missing. No, you're right. That's the thing. BKFC, I think, is so concerned with building new fan base that they forget about the diehards that they got right now and what they really want.
You know who's a good example?
Who?
Tom Schoaf. So the guy with the, he's retired now, but he was like the face, the most recognizable guy that they have. He's got the little mustache, the old boxer brawler guy.
Yeah.
He fought Paul Amino, really good fighter. But there's time periods, I've trained with him before, where he was inactive for like a year. And then he just wasn't, he partially retired because he just wasn't really happy with the financial aspect of it. And literally everyone, this is when they're building their brand. Everyone I ever met who fought, who's talked about Brand Uncle, always talked about that guy. They'd be like, oh, the guy with the mustache, the tall guy. I'm like, yeah, that was their face. But because he wasn't some fucking YouTuber or some ex-UFC guy, or whatever, it didn't seem like they gave him the love and the promotion that he deserved. And a lot of like the hardcore fans were always, I mean, the guy's been around since day one. They're kind of annoyed with that. So I know you need to build your business with cash, like more people coming in, but you can't neglect that fan base and you can't neglect the rankings. You got that should be your priority, and then have your like money fights here and there.
Yeah, I just interviewed Brandon Allen and he's going through the same thing. He ain't fought since January of 2023 or July of 2023. And he's like literally the number one ranked guy in his division. You know, it's like, it's crazy.
Well, what the fuck? What the fuck are we doing here? You know, like, what are we doing?
I get why, like, Brandon Lambert, he's very critical about BKFC. You know, and it's mainly like the fights. Like sometimes they got dudes that'd be like 6-0 fighting a guy who's just making a debut. It's like, we know the guy making a debut don't really stand a chance usually.
Yeah, I mean, I can get it to a degree, but that kind of stuff happens. But you got like the guys in the top five; they should be fighting each other relatively actively.
Yeah, I agree. I think.
So now, do politics on your show?
I will, but I'll do react videos to politics and whatnot, but like, I don't try to bring it into my, other businesses.
I gotcha. And when you ever want to talk about any controversial politics stuff, you get me on here.
Yeah. Cause the thing about politics is like, when you try to bring it into business part of things, like that's when you start to lose customers. You know what I'm saying? Cause when you start talking about politics, people always got to take a side, and we know one side can't have a civil discourse conversation, you know. Mm-hmm. They already got their minds made up when they come into the conversation, and you can't present any kind of facts
that
make them change their minds one way or another. And you can't get nowhere with somebody like that.
You know, and one thing, you're absolutely right. I actually had to pull back from that because I've been very opinionated. I love talking about politics and I like debating ideas, but not everyone's like that. And I realize you have to be careful, man, because you'll get wrapped up in it and then you'll find yourself mad at something for literally no reason. Like, why does this random person's Facebook post piss me off so much? It's like, well, you're getting a bit too involved there. So I've had to pull back myself. I do enjoy it, but you're right. I have a lot of people who I don't even know personally who think I'm this big evil monster guy. He's such a bad guy and I'm a dick because I just talk about my opinions in an honest way.
And if you're actually supporting Trump, you're definitely going to be called an evil person, anything of that nature.
Yeah, it's funny. Back like my second, third, you know, bare knuckle fight, they're like, hey, we really want you to get on social media. When people they get to know your personality, they'll like you. Because I'm not really a big social media guy. was like, dude, just let me talk about politics. I'll get you some views. They might not be positive, but I'll get some eyes on me. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, and interviewing a lot of these fighters, I realized y'all seem to all be pretty conservative.
I think by nature you have to be. So not to get too into it, but being a fighter is not easy. It's very difficult. You have to sacrifice a lot. And you know one thing about being a fighter, generally speaking, you have to take ultimate accountability because it's just you. Like, if you lose a fight,
that makes a lot of sense.
Right. There ain't no blaming and playing the victim. And typically, one side of the political aisle likes to do that more than the others. They like to look at things in a subjective manner about how it makes them feel versus objectively, like what is real and what's not real. So fighting is as real and as raw as it gets. So you go in there by yourself, you leave by yourself, you're in the locker room in the back by yourself, you're training a lot of times by yourself. So you have to take that ultimate accountability. Like if you lose, it's like, this was all my fault. I didn't do my shit. Like I have to do better. There is no, well, my coach told me the wrong advice and blah, 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 blah. My weight, you know, it's like, oh, my weight cut sucked. Yeah. Because I was a fat fuck. Right. So I think that's why most fighters are conservative. They have a more objective worldview than a lot of people.
Speaking of weight cuts, a lot of people really seem to have a negative view on that. Like just trying to lose weight. Because it just seems to drain a lot out of these fighters.
Yeah. I got it down pat. Any of you fighters out there, you want to lose weight and weight cut with no issues, just call me. But I think, you know what I don't like about it? So BKFC ain't that bad because you have the 75, 55. It goes 10 pounds at a time. I don't like MMA when it's like 170 and the guy weighs like 200 pounds in the cage. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're just a fucking weight bully. You're just a weight bully. I don't like it. I think it's better to have people fight their natural weight classes. Back in, I used to watch Pride all the time back in the day, and I liked the Japanese guys because they were always smaller than the American guys because they didn't believe in weight cutting. They thought it was cowardly. And, you know, a lot of times they'd get beat up because of it, but they'd still go in there, and you get some guys who are always smaller and just they fought tough, and they would always out-cardio the other guy because they didn't cut any weight.
Now, tonight's fight in Utah, main event, who you got, Christine Faria or Jad Masan Wang?
Well, how do you say the white girl's name?
I think it's Jad Masan Wang.
Or is it Jade? I'm dyslexic, so
I think it's Jad Masan Wang.
I'll take Jad. I don't know much about either one of them.
So you think she's actually going to win?
If she can work off her jab, yeah.
Okay.
Work off that jab. I don't know. Who else is fighting? Who's co-main?
Co-main?
Jeremy Stephens, right?
I think it's Bobby Taylor and somebody.
Yeah, Jeremy Stephens.
Let me make sure. Pull up here. My internet is moving slow on me.
Stevens. Stevens, because but he's way younger and I think he's bigger. Other than that, I like to see Bobby win, but I think Stevens will TKO him at some point. Just like Stevens' first fight in the UFC or in BKFC, he was way bigger. He fought a guy up a weight class, the same thing he's doing now. Bobby's coming up a weight class to fight him. So
what? I tell you what, if Jad Masan Wang wins, I think that's going to be big. That's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Because I don't think nobody's really giving her a chance. I mean, because Christine Ferreira is typically, I think, fights at 145 originally. So like you were saying before, they kind of come down to this weight classes and they kind of still be bullies because they still got that 145 power. Basically.
What is this fight at? This at 135?
I think so, yeah. Well, either that or 125.
Oh, my God. Ugh. That's brutal. Yeah, I don't know. Let's hope I'm pulling for it.
125 because I just interviewed the Black Widow Borga. They haven't filled in her weight class yet. and Crystal Pittman, who's also on Shift MMA. They haven't filled in their weight classes yet either. So it's just strawweight and the flyweights, which I think the flyweights are 125.
Well, I got to get my ex-girlfriend in there. She's weighing about 115 right now. She'll piece these girls up. Wow. Just put my face, a fake face mask of my face on there, and she'll throw hands at them.
And what do you think about the women of BKFC? I generally like their fights because they go the distance usually.
I've seen a couple of really good ones. I don't honestly watch a lot of fights. Okay. I just don't. I because they're always, like I said, I have kids and I have a business, so they're always on late. I'll catch, you know, I'll watch. I don't watch UFC anymore at all. I'll watch BKFC almost exclusively. I like some of the girl fights, but you are right. There is, the reality is some, now women, please don't get all mad at me. Please don't get all fucking mad. Some girls fight tough. There's that one girl, Christy. She's new. She weighs in like the Sub-Zero outfit with the short hair. I like watching her fight. A lot of those girls fight real tough, but some of them aren't the most coordinated and they don't have any real power. So
are you talking about the one that won the Kansas City fight?
No. I didn't even watch that one.
Now, she was tough. Charlene something. Gellner. I think her name was Charlene Gellner. She was pretty tough.
Yeah. Hey, man, if anybody, I'm an equal opportunist. If women want to fight, feel free. You know what I don't like, though? I don't like any of this transgender dudes fighting women bullshit. I'm not about that.
Oh, yeah. Even Christine Faria spoke up on that on social media. She wasn't even down with that. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when do you think we can expect your next fight?
Fucking tonight, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Is there any chance you get on the Denver card?
No way. There's no way. Okay.
You're too soon.
I mean, I would do it. They wouldn't do it. There's no one. Who are they going to mess with? Right. I'm going to be there, though, in person watching. I have a buddy who might be fighting down there. Probably, I'm hoping December. Let's keep our fingers crossed for December versus Eddie Alvarez. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for it. But we'll see. I honestly don't, like I said, I plan on fighting for three more years. I have a date. Like I said, I'm a very plan oriented guy. I need to be married by 40. I'm not fucking, dude. I love kids. I need to get married. I'm a family guy. I'm sick of not being married. So I'm gonna fight up until to about 40, maybe 41. I'm 38 now, and I still feel really good. So I got maybe 2-3 years left in me. Hopefully, if I have a real long layoff, honestly, if I have like a year and a half layoff, I might just say, fuck it, not do it again. Because I'm the type of guy I need to stay active. So hopefully, I like to fight twice a year, get another one out of the way, then maybe fight for the belt. Hopefully, I want like a big name fight before I retire. Like Eddie Alvarez would be fantastic. What's up, baby? Yeah, give me a second. I'm almost stuck.
So if you won the belt again, you'll probably just like retire as champ?
Depends what they're paying me.
Yeah, I mean, usually that's the best way to go out is holding the title.
Yeah, money talks, though. And I just enjoy fighting as well. So there's that aspect. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. You know, a lot of fighters deal with issues when they're not fighting or when they retire because they have to find something to fill the void. Where a lot of guys are getting alcohol and drugs and things like that. Or a lot of them end up had like spiraling out of control. They go to jail because your brain, a lot of, like, especially me, most fighters start when they're real young, like 14, 15, 16, and they are literally training and fighting. They always have a goal or a purpose in mind. And that's they develop that way their entire lives, right? And then randomly when they retire, and then there's nothing. That's actually what makes people don't realize what makes you happy as a man, especially, is having a purpose and a goal, something to chase. Like they see this in like PhD students. They spend 8 years or whatever doing their PhD. They get their thesis done, and depression rates after that are like sky high. They'll get done with something they've been working so long to get, and then they're miserable because there's nothing else for them to chase. So, you know, that's a big
when I interviewed Lytle, he was saying that's a big problem with the fighters. Like they, he was saying he wished more fighters would get into like being refs, because a lot of the refs aren't fighters originally, or maybe cutmen or things of that nature, commentary, coaches.
For me, I'm telling dudes, and I keep harping on this, but it's so important. It's like, dude, get some fucking kids and have a family, because there's literally nothing that even fighting, like after I won my last fight, the first thing you want to do is go home and celebrate with your family. That's all you want to do. Do anything else, at least for me, it pales in comparison. So like every time I fly overseas to fight, I have a good time, but like the entire time I'm like thinking about, I need to get back to the kids. I have all this stuff to do, blah, 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 blah. So I think in our society, especially on a political standpoint, the family has been attacked by the left, and they've kind of come at it like saying, oh, you can do all these other things other than have kids and raise a family. It's like, what the fuck else are you going to do that's more meaningful than that? I don't think there's anything at all. So have some babies, boys. Get in there.
You remind me of my brother-in-law, and you actually kind of look like him thinking about it right now. They got a great family structure over there. I mean, best parents I've ever seen in my entire life is my sister and my brother-in-law. It was crazy as we didn't have the best parents growing up. So it's just like some people just got to want to be decent, good human beings. And, you know.
Yeah. I've always had really strong morals and like what, you know, in terms of like what was right and wrong. Now, I've not always done those. I've been a big piece of shit in my life. You know, I regret a lot of things. But one thing I haven't been done wrong is I haven't been a bad dad. That's one thing I'm really good at. So, you know, I think
there's a psychologist. Never had a father, that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's a psychologist that says he doesn't believe you become a man. Carl Jung, I think. You don't become a man until you have kids. And I think that's, for the most part, true. Not absolutely true, but for the most part, it's true. So. Well,
I'm a laws of nature guy, so I believe the male species, part of our purpose is to procreate. And
absolutely. And you know what pisses me off in our society now is how like they attack mothers. I heard this girl at the bar the other day call her friend a baby factory, and she's like shaming her because she just wants to stay at home with her kids. It's like, look at you. You're 40 and you're at the bar. That's what you do to find meaning. Like having babies and raising your kids, for especially for women, is like the most sacred thing a woman can do. So, and that's that, you know, you have all, that's one thing I don't like about the left. They're really anti-family. They tell girls like, oh, you don't need a family. You can have a career. And then if you look at depression rates on like 40-year-old women, 50-year-old women who are career oriented, it's sky high, because going to work only lasts you. So it makes you happy for so long, even for men. Half the reason men like to work is so they can bring stuff home for their family. That's the whole fucking point. Men are workhorses. So, yeah, I'm a big family guy. I think women out there, you guys need to have some babies. Pump some babies up.
And the left definitely trying to do this mission to demasculate, as I call it.
Uh-huh.
Basically, yeah. They've convinced women that they can play the roles of men. But what they forgot is that doesn't work when you got to send people to war. When you got to send people to war, you got to send men to war. You know, because
feminists
send nothing but women to war, but that doesn't work.
Yeah, feminists are only feminists until, like, someone needs to fucking go to war. Yeah. Feminists use stuff like a buffet. They say, I'll take a little bit of this, and I'll take a little bit of that, and I'll leave a little bit of this. That's not how life works, you know?
But, all these things have to be across the board or none at all. That's what they fail to realize.
Yep.
Well, before we go, man, anybody you want to shout out?
Man, I just appreciate everyone who supports me. You know, I'll give you the standard bullshit. I don't have anyone specifically. My future wife and future kids, I'm coming. I'm coming for you. So... But no, man, I appreciate you having me on. It's been fun, and I'd like to talk to you again.
Yeah, you're a very entertaining guy, man. One of the most entertaining interviews I've had out of all the bare knuckle ones. I will say that. You made me laugh a lot more than a lot of these cats. Some of them could be a little dull.
Yeah, I gotcha. I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate it, man. You have a nice day, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, peace. Well, there you go. Jake, Gypsy, Lindsay, fought Elvin Brito in Kansas City at BKFC Fight Night, Kansas City, Kansas, a few weeks ago. Won that, as you hear him. Says he got about a few more years under his belt, looking to fight about two fights at least a year. So he's not really concerned with trying to get another title shot. It just looks like he's just trying to fulfill his life or fulfill his career. And as you see, he had no sponsorship shout outs. Just shout outs to his future wife and future kids. Definitely clinging on family, which I could appreciate. My sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, great family over there. I got a niece and two nephews. And my other sister is married with a great husband as well. I can't, you know, ask for a brother, better brother-in-laws than I've had in my life. I'll never have to bare knuckle those guys. That's for sure. Yeah, this one almost went an hour. Very interesting guy, Jake Gypsy Lindsay. Really funny guy. And it's interesting that his name used to be the librarian because he actually used to be a librarian. Once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace, and I'm out.